Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Oh, hi. Al here. Yeah, I know, it's been a long time, but I finally got around to fixing my pirate satellite broadcasting system. And I think I finally got all the bugs out of it now. So, it looks like I'll be taking over here for the next couple hours. I'll bring you up to date on all the latest breaking news and interview some of my close personal friends in the music biz. But best of all, I'll be playing all the videos I want to watch! So sit down, shut up, and hang on to your seats, because this is Al TV!
All right, Matt, we are back for another Al TV episode. And
number four.
Number four, as is tradition, we are bringing in someone who has a little bit more sketch comedy history than you and I combined, because both of us have zero. We are joined by Mark Hampton. Mark, thank you for finally joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming because we're still going to get you on for a couple episodes, but I wanted to get you in for this as well. So what is your Weird Al history? We'll start there.
So I was in a music video with Weird Al about...
What?
Yeah, I think it was 10 years ago. A friend of mine, good friend of mine named Doug Bresler, is an animator. Brilliant animator, loves to do music, and he directed Weird Al's video through the drive-thru, I think it was, or going through the drive-thru.
Trapped in the drive-thru. Yeah.
Yes. They became tight on that set, you know, working together, and they've stayed friends through thick and thin for the last like decade, 15 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. And Doug, along with his brother Joe, created a character known as LB Rain. And this premise of LB Rain was the same as Weird Al. They would basically do parodies. Now, the difference with Weird Al is he would parody existing songs. LB Rain liked to parody genre, and essentially their theme was they would come up with rejected theme songs for classic 80s films. So The Terminator, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. And it was time to do a parody of Star Trek. And they enlisted me to come in and play the Kirk character, the captain. We got to shoot this at YouTube Studios, which is the first time I'd ever been there. It was a lot of fun. And we shot over 4 days. Most of it, almost all of it was green screen, if not all of it. But the fun thing was that he got Weird Al to come in and do a cameo as a Klingon doing a guitar solo. And so he does. It's basically the bridge, and he's doing a whole thing. Or did I use that right? The bridge. I think I'm using.
Yeah, that's correct.
That sounds right.
All right, cool. Sounds right. I don't know. I'm not a musician. So he's doing this whole guitar solo and just like killing it. And at the end, he hits that high note. Cuts to a wide. I come out, shoot Weird Al with a phaser. Nice Weird Al. And I was like, well, I can die happy now.
Yeah, you got to kill Weird Al in a music video.
I got to kill Weird Al in a music video.
Yeah, so you are definitely the first guest we've had who has professionally killed Al. So yeah, congrats on that. That's
although,
great.
To be fair, we've mentioned it before. Our first guest almost killed Weird Al.
The very first guest we had made him trip outside of a Baja Fresh. That did set the bar pretty high. But you might have just topped it.
I think you surpassed it. I think the bar...
Phaser gun assassination.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's awesome. You know, I've heard this from other people. You know, I don't know Al personally, but I know people who do, and I've heard he is really amazing at, like, he meets someone, you establish a relationship, and he really does, like, keep in touch. Like, he apparently is incredibly good at staying active with people. Like, it's never, like, the people who work with him maintain a relationship for years and years and years, which I just love to hear.
Yeah.
Like, that's so great.
That's my experience with Doug. I mean, they hit it off and they have stayed close. In fact, yeah. I ran into Doug in the grocery store once, and literally we're in the express aisle, and I'm like holding too many items because I didn't want to get a basket. So I'm just like, and now I'm like struggling.
We've all been there.
And he's like, "Hey, did Al call you?" And I'm like, "Which Al are we talking about? Because I feel like you and I only know one Al, but why would Weird Al call me?" And he's like, "Yeah, he's going on tour and he's considering like having you come out with him as like the Captain Kirk character." And I was like, "I can't emotionally handle this in the express aisle at the pavilion, so I'm going for a blowout right now." Nothing ever came from it, but it was really cool just for someone to ask me a question in public for other people to hear. "Did Al Yankovic call you?"
call you on being Captain Kirk on stage?
For real.
That's so great. That's so
imagine
great.
Imagine the scenario where you get to go on like, what, a 4-month tour where your only job is to walk out on stage just like Captain Kirk every night for like 2 seconds.
It would have been my childhood dream come true. I would have combined my Trek like fandom with my Weird Al fandom into one glorious glob, and
it
would have been amazing.
God,
unfortunately,
that's
nothing came of it. But
you know what? You never know. There's always another tour.
He ain't stopping.
All right. No way. So we're gonna be talking about the fourth Al TV. Before we dive into this, Mark, how familiar are you with Al TV? Like, did you watch it when it would come on to MTV, or is this just a thing you've maybe heard of but never got to watch?
I'd heard of, and fellas, I can honestly say I don't remember watching Al TV, because I think the episode we watched was from 87, and my introduction to Al was actually his Nirvana parody off the Deep End.
So like 92.
So that was my first
5 years
exposure.
Beforehand. Yeah.
Right. So, and I'm not even sure my parents let me watch MTV in 1987. So I'm not even sure. No, I mean, I'd heard of it subsequently though, but I feel like the episode we watched was the first one I'd ever seen.
This one is a bit of a weird one. So obviously whenever we do these, we have to find it by any means necessary. That means usually Daily Motion. This one was on YouTube, and whoever put this on YouTube made sure that they were not ever at risk of copyright infringement, because there is not even a lingering of what song has been played beforehand unless you pick it up in the dialogue of Al. So much so that at one point he goes to make a Madonna True Blue joke, and we still don't even get to see the joke because I guess the song was a copywritten song.
So I have to say, I found that joke.
Nice.
I found it, and I'm going to drop it in the chat for you guys right now. So I have a link for it, and I actually think this is totally worth watching, and maybe we can even feature a small amount of it in this episode. So the setup for this, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but this is pretty early in the episode, is that Al says that there was a contest of like make a fan-made music video for Madonna's True Blue, and that they've picked a winner, and he's like, "Let's see the winner's clip now." And in the full, like, complete version of it, that clip is edited out entirely, presumably because they were worried about a copyright issue. But I searched for it, and what it actually is, it is a video of Bobcat Goldthwait in front of a green screen singing True Blue by Madonna. And he starts doing it like a normal, like very like singing along to the track thing. And then at some point in the middle of it, he gives up on that and just like punk rock guitars come in and he is just screaming the song at the camera. It is amazing.
Shut up. I feel like that's not the way it goes. Can I not please sing you? What the hell? Die for? I'm looking for more. But I'm never going to love you more. There's no one for my door. I'm never going to love you. You're the one I love. Baby, I know this. Cause it's love. You're
I am so sad that that wasn't in, that they had to cut that out of the YouTube video. That
I mean, I don't even know if they had to or if it was just him being extra, extra cautious. But wow, I thought to look it up because, again, spoilers, in the regular one, Bobcat appears at the very end of the Al TV playing another character. And I had a moment, I was like, holy shit. And then I looked it up. I searched because I thought, like, did they do anything else together all these years? Like, I didn't ever have a connection of the two of them in my head. And I just typed into YouTube, Weird Al, Bobcat Goldthwait. And that popped up immediately, that clip of just his moments from Al TV, one of which being that big thing that got deleted from the upload. So
look at this. This is where Matt is the better host than me, because I was just like, oh, I guess that's gone forever. Moving on.
It just made me so happy to see that because, yeah, no, I mean, Bob is amazing. And for people who don't know, I mean, I don't even know where to begin describing Bobcat Goldthwait's career. That's a whole other show we could run about him, but he is absolutely worth looking up. Especially at this point, he was quite a notable, like, oddball alternative comedian in this world. So it's not surprising to me that he and Al would have been buddies.
This is probably the shortest Al TV we've ever had to watch for this show, clips-wise, anyway. And I can't help but kind of wonder if it's because Polka Party underperformed so badly before they produce this that they weren't going to give them 4 straight hours on television.
I guess so. I also did think to myself, I wonder, you know, we've said it before, we're at the mercy of what people upload for this. Right. And it also just might be the least archived of any of them. Like, maybe there's more footage here, unfortunately, that just has not made it onto YouTube. It's possible that it was just, because this version also, it's funny, the other ones were better edited. I kind of love it. I'm not mad, but this one has, like, randomly in the middle of it, there's like Jay Leno doing a Doritos commercial.
Selling Cool Ranch Doritos.
I honestly thought it was part of the show for a moment. I was like, no, this is a legitimate Jay Leno just talking about how great Cool Ranch Doritos are.
So there's that one. There's that one. There's the one for, was it Health Bar? Heath Bar?
Yeah, the Heath Bar one. Yeah.
With the Heath Bar one, but the thing that's almost brilliant with the editing of those is that both of those commercials are so ridiculous that I didn't catch that the coin collection commercial wasn't a legit commercial until halfway through it.
I was just going to say, it's almost like whoever edited this did that on purpose to get us to the point where then later on, yes, there is a commercial for fake collectible coins, but the coins are like literally just loose change from someone's pocket.
Describing it and they just go, look at the expression on Washington's face.
Yeah, how lifelike. Exactly. It's it adds to the Trojan horse element of that bit, because that really did get me for a moment as well.
Now, Mark, before we dive into like bit and wow, I didn't mean to say bit in that way, but yes, before we dive into all of the bits that are in this,
yes,
from a sketch comedy point of view, again, Matt and I not being well versed in the world of sketch comedy, but not actually being participants in it, we've had, you know, your fiance has been on the show before. We've had a few people from Smosh on here talking about this, and the thing that we keep coming down on, and I'm curious your perspective on this, is like Al's kind of on the cutting edge of the alternative sketch comedy scene, because some of the sketches in this feel more at home in 2023 than they do in 1987.
Oh yeah, he was a complete outlier back then. He was like that. He was considered avant-garde. He was strange. He was weird. The Wall Street generation of the 80s, probably it was for kids because the grown-ups didn't like it. They thought it was just strange. Like, I know my parents would have thought it was very odd and weird. But it was
these weird moments of just showing a toy robot, like, with no joke.
It feels like Adult Swim 20 years earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like the precursor to Adult Swim.
Oh, that's actually, you know what? That I always bring up the state and stuff, but you're right. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, this is
Adult
like
Swim too.
This is that Too Many Cooks like era of Adult Swim.
Yeah.
But in 1987.
Totally. Well, you know, and I remember I first started watching Adult Swim, I want to say in like late 90s, when they really started their weird stuff. And they just had like the Chirons with like weird sayings and weird quotes and stuff. And it was just, I always like, this is just trippy. This is not anything like I'd seen. Al was doing that 10 years earlier, if not even earlier than that. So it kind of reminds me of that the most.
We've already talked about Bobcat, but I constantly love the level of credible people that show up to do these bumpers. Like B.B. King just showing up to do an Al TV bumper spot. Or probably the thing that made me laugh the hardest during the entire watch is a person that he's already done a parody of at this point. They've clearly established a friendship, but Greg Kinn from the Greg Kinn Band showing up. And his clip, his bumper starts with him already laughing. Yep. Because he's probably, it gave me this idea that they probably go up to these guys and just immediately feed them the line that they're supposed to say and then hit record. Because he's laughing before he says the line, I'd rather be eaten alive by worms than miss one episode of Al. And then in the background, you can hear Al yelling, TV! Greg, the show
Al
is
TV!
Al TV!
Every time, TV!
But yeah, just starting with Greg Kinn laughing hysterically like that, I almost thought, like, is he wasted in this clip? Like, he seems
like
he's like
in a bar. Like, they
it
just
looks like he's at a bar and he's like falling off the stool laughing as the clip starts, and he can barely get the line out. And he, again, yeah, gets yelled at, corrected. Oh, it's so good. Another side note: the very top of this, B.B. King,
yeah,
doing a shout out to Al. I mean, like, we had talked in the previous episode, it was like just starting to see these actual people, you know, like the real celebrities or artists or whatever, doing the You're Watching Al TV bumpers. But wow, B.B. King, that really like threw me. I honestly, again, had a moment where I was like, is that really B.B. King? Yes, it is. It's definitely really B.B. King. It's like, I'm not totally sure what B.B. King looked like in 1987.
But there he is.
That was exactly what he looked like.
And Al, in the intro, probably the thing I walked away from this particular Al TV appreciating more than almost anything is that Al has this real gift for going from like screaming to calm in like a blink of an eye. And I'm trying to think where I wrote down one of the quotes, but very early on before that, even he just says like, so sit down and shut up and hang on to your seats for Al TV. Like, he's so fucking good at what he does.
Yeah.
And it's
he was fearless, man. Too. He was fearless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, another thing we talked before about how, like, difficult it is to deliver jokes like this alone in a room with just him and a camera, like, trying to deliver comedy and then cutting to the show. It is, you're right, you have to be really fearless to do this like that.
Yeah. I said this before, but it gives me, the thing that it reminds me the most of is early Talk Soup. Like John Henson era talk soup, where it's like, this is just a guy making jokes to make his cameraman and his sound guy laugh.
Yeah.
Like there's no one else there. And that's like the charm of these Al TV. Every time that we watch these, I'm so charmed. The pre-taped sketches are always really funny, like just watching him just totally straight faced, like grabbing the signs out of someone's hand and tossing it instant. Like he is just throwing anything at the wall and hoping for the best. So a few of the things I wrote down that jumped out during this was like, there's the, I guess he's coming from a Steve Martin video and then says, hey, did you know that he used to be the drummer for Yes as well? And it's like less than a second
of incredibly blurry footage of the guy from Yes. Be like, yeah, look at that. Amazing.
And then he goes back to it briefly. He's like, let's look at it one more time.
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, he loves to do that too. Another great, like, let's look at that clip. Let's watch it again. Let's see that one more time. He just loves to keep throwing that at the wall.
This was another episode that gave me a reminder that the things that Al has eaten on camera for our amusement is unbelievable. And this one, we got a peanut butter jelly ice cream anchovies on white bread sandwich. I'm just like, this dude is a fucking psychopath.
He also had the pet meat.
Dude, yes. When that meat starts dancing on the table.
Oh, like it's twitching like it has a heartbeat. Yeah, he talks like a pet steak, he calls it.
That's right, it was a pet steak.
And then he just puts it down on the desk for a little while, and then suddenly it reappears, and it is like pulsating. It is like a nightmare. It is so awful looking.
Yeah, it was enough to make me give up eating meat for like an afternoon.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you caught this, Matt. I know that we're always looking for like when Al makes a reference in Al TV that later pops up in a song lyric.
Oh, tell me, because I think I might have
it. He makes a comment about how many molecules are in a butt, which is 100% a lyric in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Yes. He says someone won a contest for correctly guessing the number of molecules on his butt. Of course, in Albuquerque, he wins a contest for correctly guessing the number of molecules on Leonard Nimoy's butt.
He was off. I was off by three or something.
Off by three, yeah, but that was still enough to win the grand prize.
And he's got he's doing a lot of giveaways. He's giving away the board weekend, which is
boredom weekend. Another funny, like, boy, does he really like go to like his the boredom weekend where the prize is going to Boise, Idaho.
Yes.
Poor Boise. What a lovely city that is. I've been to Boise many times. It is totally fine. If you're listening and you're from Boise, I love your city. Don't listen to Al.
You go to Boise, Idaho for a 12-hour recital of all of the works of Charles Dickens, followed by an all-night cram session with two strangers.
Yeah. Well, one of the other jokes he said, and you'll get to visit the Museum of Natural History. And I did have a moment. I was like, I must be really old, because getting a trip to Boise to go to the Museum of Natural History, I'm like, that sounds great.
Yeah, I love it.
That's not a boredom weekend. That's huge.
I went to a murder mystery night at the Delaware Museum of Sciences this weekend. I'm like, felt great.
It's a great place for a murder mystery.
Exactly. I will agree about the SAT cramming. I don't think that I would enjoy that. No. But the rest of it sounded absolutely fine to me.
No problems here. Is the solar skull plate, that's a replay from a previous one, correct?
I don't know if the sky high solar radio skull plate. I mean, he keeps doing skull plate bits. I couldn't remember if this was directly taken or if it was just very close to another. He definitely had some other, like, drill it into your head and you won't look like a jerk.
Product.
Yeah. I don't remember if it's exactly the same or just something very close, but yeah, that's a popular recurring bit. He loves that.
Did either of you have fun trying to guess what the videos were that played before the bits based on what he was saying afterwards? Because I think I guessed at least one.
There were a couple. There's actually one towards the end that I did. He said the name of the track towards the end of the show.
Is
it
the Paul Simon one?
He does mention "You Can Call Me Al." Versus
he says that's a follow. That's a response to my song "You Can Call Me Paul."
I noted that towards the very end he says that was "Put Your Hand Inside the Puppet Head," which is a "They Might Be Giants" song.
Oh, that's right.
Which nice is catch. Someone he parodies later. So he must have been. We know he was a fan. I'm not sure how much control Al actually had over the videos that aired.
87 is real early for MTV to be playing "They Might Be Giants," so this may have been one that he insisted on.
Yeah, I'm a mega fan of "They Might Be Giants," and I know from like they put out a documentary years ago that they actually attribute a lot of their success to the fact that in the early 80s they had music videos for no reason other than the fact that they thought it was interesting, and that MTV was so desperate for content that they played them, even though they were like, our stupid song was playing right after Whitney Houston, just because they were like, we need something to play. And they were like, if we hadn't done that, no one might have ever heard of
them.
But they got in on the ground floor, sort of.
They also had the Dial a Song for a while, right?
They did, yeah. They had Dial a Song up until pretty recently when the tape machine like finally broke.
That's so insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I know the one. He had to have come from "Subterranean Homesick Blues" by Bob Dylan at some point. Because there's a scene where he's just standing there holding the postcards and dropping them to say, like, I think that was from a guy named Bob.
The cue cards. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Another quick thing, because we already talked about the Madonna, the True Blue bit. But I'm tracking this so carefully just because, again, ever since Weird came out, now the relationship between Al and Madonna is just like at the forefront of my brain at all times. And he says that he was the Madonna contest comes up and he was like, oh, I was just, I think he's like got a faraway look in his eyes and he's like, oh, sorry, I was just imagining what it would be like if Madonna was completely covered in sour cream and blueberries. And I was like, that is a really...
I made note of that as well. Interesting.
That is a straight kinky line from Al about Madonna. Like, I again, in these shows, we've said before, like, it's all very, like, PG-13 for Al, where he's usually not quite this
blue.
He doesn't have this much innuendo in
not,
his songs.
Not this
most
much
of the
true
time.
Blue.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So to hear him make jokes like that, I'm just like, oh man. And again, it's just the fact that it's Madonna. It's always Madonna.
Well, and you know, this episode will come out about a month from now, but at the time that we're recording this, it is the day after Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
They make this came out on February 3rd, because they refer to it as the day after Groundhog's Day video extravaganza. He talks about
a fun note. I almost forgot to say this. February 3rd, 1987. This came out on my first birthday.
Ooh.
How about that?
Look at that.
I missed it. I didn't get to watch it live. I'm sorry.
You were preoccupied.
But he also makes a
busy.
A comment about Valentine's Day, and he says, no better way to say I love you than the gift of Al.
Yes, buy them a copy of Polka Party.
Which he then runs down. I always love his fake tour dates, and I actually wrote down three different venues that he was playing at. There was Crazy Bernie's drive-through pet shop.
I wrote that down too, yes.
There was Mean Uncle Leroy's all-night basketball repair shop and holistic car wash. And then, of course, the 27-night sold-out event
at the Forum. That was what got me.
At the Forum. Matt, you and I both are so the same. That's exactly the same three things that I wrote down. Yes, I mean, I just couldn't get over it yet. Like you said, the 27 nights at the Forum is great. And I just love the idea of the all-night basketball repair shop.
It's so like, good. The way that he, like, it's just word vomit.
Absolutely.
Where in any person's normal brain are they walking around? They're like, all right, we need a crazy venue. What about Mean Uncle Leroy's all-night basketball repair shop and holistic car
wash? Holistic car wash, just in case that wasn't enough.
So, Mark, you might not know this, but something that we learned in the Polka Party research was that when the album Polka Party came out, it was the only time that Al did not go on a headlining tour. He actually opened for the Monkees. Which I think is fascinating because he makes jokes about the Monkees.
He did in that episode.
Constantly in this.
Yeah. So many times in this episode, he's talking about the
Monkees.
That's
such a perfect synergy, though. The Monkees and Weird Al. I mean, that's perfect. Because it they were so silly. I mean, they were bananas, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially the Monkees. It would be maybe 5 or 6 years later, but like, in the 90s, MTV started replaying the old episodes of the Monkees TV show.
I watched them.
Like there was something about their very similar to Al abstract sense of humor that like totally made sense in the disillusioned 90s grunge era.
Yep.
Monkees were way ahead of their time.
Dude,
just did not get it at the time it came out. They were way ahead of their time.
But yeah, he disses them for not playing instruments at one point for his greatest special.
Exactly.
He's doing the Al TV Music Awards, and one of them is the award for making it look like the Monkees were almost playing their instruments. there's a couple different ones. I think there's a Shock the Monkey solo tour joke or something like that. Like he brings up the Monkees.
One of his other like award categories, he said the stupidest dance in a music video goes to Davy Jones. And it's just some shot of him doing a ridiculous move. Like, yeah, he keeps coming back to the Monkees.
Dude, David Lee Roth being nominated for almost every stupid, subtle sexual innuendo.
Oh, yes.
The one was like, the videos being nominated for almost makes your head want to explode. And I will tell you that in the 10 seconds that he was showing those video clips, I got a headache.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Like, insane like video editing effects that were just new and exciting, God. Like just strobing effects on everybody all the time. It's horrible.
Another line that I did write down, Al's just like firing these one-liners, and I love that it's in an empty room. But he clearly has just come from playing Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, and he goes, that was, of course, the Peter Gabriel song that asked the infamous musical question, Sledgehammer? and then I did write down many, many, many quotes because we do get an Al TV interview with John Cougar Mellencamp. And these have just gotten better and better and better with every viewing.
They keep getting better.
Just like him sitting down and cutting to John Cougar going, I know why I'm here.
Like, Yeah, I was explaining it to them.
You know what's really interesting too, to go back slightly to like the sketch conversation and inspirations. When I was watching his interview with John Cougar and Mellencamp, it actually really reminded me of early Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
Early Conan O'Brien. Because that's kind of this avant-garde crazy shit that he would do in the beginning. Like, but that was a really funny interview.
I miss when Conan would have the he would have the drop down screen of the celebrity with someone else's lips on it.
It was my absolute favorite bit on late night comedy. The Arnold Schwarzenegger ones especially. Those were always the governator best ones that are triumph.
I'm telling you, man, Seth Meyers is really stepping into that bizarre avant-garde. I'm not sure if you follow any of his stuff, but literally last night, you can find it on YouTube. He did a 15-minute bit just called Popsicle Shtick. And all it was that he would read a joke setup, like it was on the stick of a popsicle, and then it would slurp up the popsicle and reveal the punchline, and then his graphics team would surprise him with a graphic that he had not seen before going live on television. And like, it starts off with something small as like, he says the punchline, and then for like 40 seconds, you're sitting there as a plane keeps flying across the screen, spelling out letters that says, "Hey Seth, happy Thanksgiving, you dickhead." But like, by the end of it, it is a full 5-minute parody of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with a bunch of sentient popsicle sticks and Seth Meyers' head digitally placed on Willy Wonka's body. Like, it's just like, what is happening? But I guess it's what you can do when you know that your show's on at midnight and nobody's, you're like, all right, let's get fucking weird.
That was how Conan was able to do it too for such a long time. It's like, you can get away with it if you
It's kind of what sucked when he went to Tonight Show is he lost so much of that edge because he couldn't have like masturbating bear, he couldn't have really triumph, and then he left NBC entirely and they very vindictively kept the copyrights to all these characters that they absolutely were never going to put on television just to fuck them further. But the Conan, everything that happened to Conan is the most frustrating, upsetting shit that could happen to someone who's dedicated so much of their life to like a very specific art form have it kind of ripped away.
It's spectacularly unfair.
One of the other lines, Al gets a little bit of a diss on himself when he asks John Mellencamp what he thought of his new album, and because of John going, "Whew, it's horrible." He's talking about his album not selling well, and he goes, "Well, it's just 3 songs." And he goes, "And how long are those songs?" "Half a minute."
"Half a minute." That's
he's like, yeah. So he made an album with 3 half a minute songs, and people aren't buying it. He's like, "Do you think maybe you should have made a better album?" And it cuts to Mellencamp going like, I don't do that very well.
I don't do that very well. Dear Lord. And then we get, I think this is the first time we get a reference to the close and personal friends of Al. He advertises that for just $8, you can be a close personal friend of Al. We've had former close personal friends of Al on the show. Jim LeGrando showed us some of the mail that he got from his close personal friend Al while being in that
thing. That's amazing. It's $8 plus $2 shipping and handling.
Yes.
I love that the official certificate of membership that he holds up, at least on the screen, is like, you can be a member, and he holds up the certificate, and on the certificate there's a picture of Bruce Springsteen for some reason instead of Al. Again, just these like unacknowledged, like just little visual jokes that keep coming up. It's so good.
It's chaos. We talked about the coin commercial that caught me off guard because I really did think it was a real commercial. And then Matt, there's something else that pops up towards the end of this. Al starts going through his mailbag and he pulls out a letter.
From Ed McMahon,
who is the subject of one of the songs on Polka Party.
I know. We talked about how that was another bit of, for the Here's Johnny episode that Al does reference. Got a letter just the other day, said you may already be a winner.
Yeah.
Which is in this. Al has a few different references to his own stuff in this particular special that I didn't notice before. Also, in that fake coin commercial we already talked about, he drops 2 lines from old infomercials that are used in
Mr. Popeil.
One is "operators are standing by," and then the other one is about the coins, they drop the phrase, "Now how much would you pay?" Which is another just great old school, like, yeah, I was clocking like a lot of like little references. That plus the monkey stuff, it's interesting. Like,
it's so
he definitely
strange.
Was doing a lot of cross promotional stuff in here.
So we end with two, a lot of the bits are quick. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, here's a segment, here's the mailbag, here's the news, whatever. The last two bits both go kind of the rest of the episode. We get the extended fake news story on Van Halen's Live Without Annette and how it was Annette Funicello originally, and then she quit. And Bobcat Goldthwait comes, well, for us, it's the first time we see mm-hmm. him. As we later learn, this is the second or third time he's shown up in this particular Al TV episode. But he is telling the firsthand account of what happened. And I wrote down two specific lines. Is he says, And then Eddie's all like, "Hey, listen, lady, you weren't even my first choice." He's like, "I'll take anybody who walks in here as our new singer." He goes, and then unfortunately, he wasn't aware that Sammy Hagar was recording in the studio right next door, and he walked in. But then he goes, and then all I remember was her trying to pull this gun out of Eddie's mouth.
Like, so oh, funny. My God. I know. It's so dark. It's also funny because in that instance, Bobcat Goldthwait is not credited as himself. He is credited, the Chiron at the bottom of the screen says, "guy who thinks he was there," I think is what it says.
I didn't sketch that.
So it's like obviously complete nonsense, but he's just going on this long rant about, you know, it's really, really funny.
It is really funny too, because this is at that time where everyone thought that Sammy Hagar joining Van Halen was the worst decision the band could have ever made. Like,
yeah.
And now we look back and it's like, oh, they sold like three to four times more records with Sammy Hagar for four albums than they did with David Lee Roth. Like, it was a very successful winning combination, but this mm-hmm. is early enough where it's just like, these idiots, they've just ruined their entire career and legacy.
Well, it's extra funny too, because you're right about all that, and yet that is still the prevailing mentality of a lot of people.
Yeah.
That the Hagar era was a complete waste.
Yeah. It's like, and there's so many good records.
Yeah, successful. See, the Hagar.
So many good
Hagar
albums.
Phase, or whatever you want to call it. The Hagar era was my favorite. I liked it better.
He's a better
singer. I know
singer.
Quite a few people. Brendan from Wheatus famously will always say that the Van Hagar records.
And they played that song right now on the Pepsi commercial that like debuted at the Super Bowl that year, and then they just played it on repeat. And so like for a while, that's the only one I knew, and there was like mm-hmm. you know, bad juju around it. And then I listened to more Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, and I was like, this is awesome. This is so much better than David Lee Roth, in my opinion.
So no, because it comes down to this, right? I think that Van Halen, in all honesty, had three really good frontmen for three very different reasons, right? Like mm-hmm. David Lee Roth is a showman to the T. If you need a guy who's going to be running around on stage being crazy, like, he's your go-to guy. Sammy Hagar had the pipes.
Yeah.
The dude could just sing for days and had an amazing voice. And then Gary Cherone, like, short-lived as he was and how rough that album was, I've heard multiple diehard Van Halen fans tell me that, like, if you wanted to see Van Halen live, his era was the time to see it because he had no ego. Where, like, Sammy Hagar would not perform any of the David Lee Roth songs, and David Lee Roth wouldn't perform any of the Sammy Hagar songs. Gary was just like, here's all of the best songs that you have. Let's just do them. And was, like, happy to do, you know, Janie's Crying and Right Now and Hot for Teacher and a couple songs off the third album that he did with them. Like, he didn't have this, like, ego about, like, I'm not singing those other guys' songs. This is my band now.
Yeah.
That happened. And then we end the episode with Harvey the Wonder Hamster getting a big, big joy, big smile out of my face. Always loving Harvey shows up.
Until he's murdered.
When he smashes up, "You've made a fool of me for the last time."
And Al destroys Harvey with a sledgehammer.
Dude, and I'm sure all three of us being the A, just knowing Al, but B, the second that I saw that cut happen from the close-up to the wide, I'm like, oh, this whatever fake hamster they just put in his hand for that cut is about to get fucking
destroyed.
I know. He did something similar in the previous episode where he was like, well, that's enough of that, and he takes Harvey and just throws him over his shoulder behind him. But in this one, it was, yeah, as if he was really affronted by Harvey and he kills him with a sledgehammer, which even for Al, you can tell, like, he must have felt the need to verify, because then in the final, like, farewell moment, he is once again holding it totally fine.
He's like, Harvey, I'm sorry, like, about
just
that, buddy.
Make sure there's no confusion.
And then he ends with Christmas at Ground Zero.
February.
In February, his sign-off music.
Poor Al. That was his most recent hit single, arguably. Debatably hit single.
Hit in quotes.
Yeah, if your most recent single is a Christmas song and it's February, you're having a tough time.
They're not all winners.
You're gonna have a hard time. No, you can't. No. I mean, what are you gonna do? They played it. It was nice.
I love that song, but
oh,
still,
me too. Yeah, absolutely.
I think if February 2nd or February 3rd would have been where I'm like, okay, the groundhog.
I'm just thinking, yeah,
the groundhog has popped up.
The whole point of this event for Al is it's a promotional vehicle for his music, and he pimps Polka Party pretty, clearly. The whole, like, give this to your Valentine this year, and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, if he's promoting it with his new single, that's, you know, that's not his fault, but that's just a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, great. Oh, well.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
All right, well, before we sign off, Mark, where can people go if they're just like, this dude, we want more of Mark? Where can they go to keep up with all the cool things you've been doing?
Twitter's probably the best place to find me, Mark S. Hampton. Twitter at Mark S. Hampton. That's pretty much where you'll find me, but really, lately it's just been about college basketball that I've been tweeting about.
Well, you know, you got this, like, pretty big life event that's, like, kind of quickly approaching as well.
67 days away, as the knot continues to remind me. 67 days. We're actually going to the wedding venue today to do our last looks for, like, linens and and napkins and things like that.
Matt and I will check our mailboxes again just to make
sure
we get the invitations in
time. Keep looking.
We're going to keep looking.
Snail mail, you know how the whole thing goes.
The U.S. Postal Service has really lost
you send out two invitations without forever stamps, and this is what happens.
Yeah. No, seriously, a big congratulations. It's very exciting to have two people who have been on the show that by the next time they're on the show will be married to each other is very cool.
Pronounceable now.
Yeah, it's look, for the last year I've just been posting her with your last name at this point. I'm like, I'll have to go and change it later anyway.
Bless her heart. Whenever she has to call a venue for anything, and they'll like, what's your name? And she has to spell the name out, and I'm like, just tell him Hampton. Just say Hampton.
Meanwhile, my sister infamously changed her last name from Kelly to Eisenacher, and I was like, you should have just kept that last name.
Eisenacher.
That was a terrible, phenomenal
college basketball coach with that last name. That is the only way that name is going to be able to be spelled like Krzyzewski or anything else like that.
Dude, I've listened to her try to leave her last name with people and get so frustrated because she's lived the good life of being a Kelly. Where they're like, is that with or without the E?
Exactly.
That's the only question
you
get asked.
She should have at least kept it professional.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, what were you thinking? All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Yes. Oh, I have one quick little thing I want to add just because I feel like we've started to do this more and I think it's a cool thing about this show. There is a reference in the when Al's giving awards category of this special where he talks about a Huey Lewis video that is directed by Godley and Cream. Mm-hmm. Godley and Cream are a songwriting duo who originally started in the band 10cc.
I know 10cc.
Maybe you've heard of. Yeah. And then they left that group and started their own solo or duo group They also wound up making music videos. They're really just interesting artists all around. But Godley and Cream made records that are amazing. Mm.
Okay.
Super crazy, super weird.
I mean, even 10cc is really weird for its time period.
10cc can get very strange, and that's a big part of their influence on it. But I'm telling, for listeners of our show, it is worth listening to music. There is a song by Godley and Cream called Sandwiches of You. Like pictures of you, but sandwiches of you. Stop what you're doing. Listen to Godley and Cream, Sandwiches of You, and your brain will melt out of your head. And
maybe I don't do this enough. Maybe I'll end this episode instead of our traditional closing, like, little minute thing. I'll play a little bit of Sandwiches of You.
I'll just post a little snippet of Sandwiches of You. It's amazing. And I never hear them get referenced anywhere. And I feel like, again, I'm projecting a little bit that Al loves to name drop the weird, interesting stuff like this. And, I didn't seem like a coincidence to me that he randomly just mentioned that they directed this Huey Lewis in the News video. I feel like he was putting their name out there for
Yeah, like he almost made
reason.
That whole bit just to get that name.
He wanted to get that in there, and it's just I never hear them mentioned anywhere, and it blew my mind that they came up. So I feel like Al likes them, so I'm telling you, worth a listen. Check it out.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with even more Weird Algorithm.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.